Well, good morning, Ebenezer. Y'all let them know how much you appreciate them leading us this morning in worship. They do an awesome job. Appreciate you guys, Caleb. And grateful to be back with you today. I was not anticipating axe throwing. Are y'all with me? Say yes. Had I known that, I'd have been warming up. You know, I don't know what I'd have done. But anyway, I'd have been ready. But now that I know you guys will do axe throwing, I'm confident y'all will be fine with the snakes that I brought this morning as well. So just kidding. You guys brought a Bible, say amen. And Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 is our key text this morning. And really the message today is highlighting the desperate need of every man to have spiritual accountability in his life. And I am going to preach to men this morning, but I do want you to know, ladies, I'm not leaving you out. You can apply the principles that I'm going to share with you today. But ultimately, my desire is to challenge every single man to have two or three other men in their lives who actually care about their spiritual development and want to invest in them and sharpen them, just as Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 teaches. Now, let me just ask you this before I jump right into the text. How many golfers we've got in the house? Just slip a hand up real quick and right back down. All right, so four of you. That'd be a great illustration to open up with. All right, I shouldn't even ask. All right, well, not long ago, I'm not a golfer either, so just free information. But I will tell you, if you want a great nap, if you'll watch golfing on Sunday afternoon, it will knock you out. You with me? But 2017, the British Open, there was a guy by the name of Jordan Spieth. He's an American, and he actually won the British Open. It wasn't really a shock to everybody, apparently, who follows golf, because Spieth had kind of been on a tear in the golfing world for quite some time. In 2015, he won the Masters as well as the U.S. Open. But what was really surprising to me is after Jordan Spieth won the particular British Open, there was an interview with him. And in that interview, he actually credited his victory to the caddy who was carrying his golf clubs. In fact, it was interesting. The Washington Post ran an article, and the article was entitled, "Jordan Spieth Listened to His Caddy, and That Made All the Difference at the British Open." And as I read a little bit more about how Jordan Spieth leaned on his caddy during this particular game, there was a time frame when Jordan Spieth swung and basically just hit an awful ball, and his caddy came to him and encouraged the fire out of him. And Jordan Spieth said, "That actual word of encouragement boosted me so that I could do well on the next particular hole." And then also, there was a time frame when Jordan Spieth was trying to figure out which club to use, and he had chosen one, but his caddy said, "You shouldn't use that one, you should use the other one." And that's what he did. He chose the one that his caddy recommended, and he hit an absolutely amazing shot. But what amazed me the most was that in this particular game, Jordan Spieth knew the value of having others around him who helped him. In fact, if you follow sports at all, you will discover anybody who is great in their sport always credits other people around them who have coached them, who have inspired them, who have encouraged them, who have motivated them. And what I want to suggest to you this morning, that as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I in the Christian race, we need other individuals in our lives who can encourage us, who can strengthen us, who can sharpen us. In fact, just as Jordan Spieth had a caddy and a coach, you and I need people in our lives who can help us, who can correct us even when necessary. And that really is kind of my goal for this Father's Day. It's to take a break out of 2 Peter, which we'll be back in next time I'm with you, but really challenging you as men this morning to have others in your life who want to help you mature as a follower of the Lord Jesus. So this morning, we're going to drill down on the idea of spiritual accountability with others. And that's what Proverbs 27, verse 17 really speaks to this morning. So with that in mind, let's all stand in honor of God's word this morning, and we'll look together at Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. And I'd love for us to read this together out loud. So it's on the screen for you. So I'll count to three, and we'll start reading. One, two, three. "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Let's bow together. Father, thank you just for the opportunity this morning to be challenged from your word to have spiritual accountability in our lives. I pray for the men who are represented here today. God, would you do something in their hearts that really would encourage them to have others in their lives who want to help them grow spiritually? Father, we pray the same thing for the ladies as well. But most of all, God, we are grateful this morning for our salvation in Jesus alone. Thank you for adopting us into your family, not based on our good works, but based on your good work on the cross at Calvary, dying for our sins, being resurrected. And now, having been adopted, Lord, we are grateful for the promises that you give to us as your followers, the promise of an eternal home in heaven, which you are right now building. God, thank you for that. Help us live in light of who you are. Help us to live like you are our Father. And we'll give you glory for it. And that's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. You can be seated this morning. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So today we're going to talk about spiritual accountability. So if you are a note taker, let me encourage you just to jot down a few questions. I think I've got four of them, and then I'm going to give you answers. So the first question is this: what is it? In other words, what exactly is spiritual accountability? Well, spiritual accountability is the act of allowing others to hold you responsible, and I really want you to hear this, hold you responsible to be the man that God has called you to be. It also includes a heart to see other men in your life become who God has called them to be. And this is what the proverb writer is noting: as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It was commentator Matthew Henry who remarked on this verse, and he said this, quote, "Wise and profitable conversation sharpens men's wits." See, the principle put forth in Proverbs 27:17 teaches us that the conversations we have with others actually help shape us. And this highlights the fact that we must be intentional about the conversations we have with others, especially if we want to see our walk with God become sharper and even more focused. So in a nutshell, I would say it to you this way: spiritual accountability is tethering your life to one, two, or three other followers of Jesus. Now let me share with you this morning what has helped me personally as a Christian mature in my walk with the Lord. And I've got a long way to go. But when I was in college, a freshman at Shorter College, I was a Christian ministry major. And when I was dropped off at college, I didn't know anybody. So I walked in, got to know some folks who were in the same major as myself. And there were two guys that I got to know pretty quickly. So I just simply asked them, I said, "Hey guys, what if we got together on a regular basis and let's just study the scripture together, and let's challenge each other in our walk with the Lord." And these two guys are like, "Yeah, I'm down with it." So that's literally what we began to do. That was my first reality with spiritual accountability in my life. So every single week, we would get together, my dorm room, their dorm room, wherever we met, and we would just challenge one another. We'd read scripture to one another. It was an amazing thing to happen. And then after I finished my college days, I went on to get a master's. And while I was in seminary, did y'all catch that? That was, the whole sermon was built around that joke. But anyway, so while I was in seminary, I got to know a guy by the name of Patrick Latham, who's actually a pastor now in Georgia. And so anyway, Patrick and I became quick friends, and I just said, "Patrick, man, I would love for us to hold one another accountable. Let's meet on a regular basis. Let's talk on a regular basis." And we began to do that. So all throughout my college years, all the way up through my doctoral work, and then when I was pastoring, all the way till today at the age of 23, I've got this still going on in my life. All right, so I'm 43. But anyway, I will tell you, every single Thursday at my house, I've got a group of guys, about four of them, who show up every Thursday night, and we hold each other accountable in our walk with the Lord. So they show up, it's at my house, and we read through scripture together. Last Thursday, we walked through the book of Jonah together. This coming Thursday, we're going to walk through the book of Amos together. But this is all designed so that I can have people in my life who really challenge me in my walk with the Lord. And we ask one another questions about our spiritual development, about if we're loving our wives properly, if we're spending enough time in God's Word, if we're sharing the gospel. We have these kinds of conversations going on. And I will tell you, nothing has helped me more in my walk with Christ than to have people in my life who are helping me develop. And that's why I wanted to share this with you men today on Father's Day. Because the reality is, you need people in your life, just like I need people in my life, to help us spiritually mature. This is absolutely vital. And what is amazing to me is that you see this throughout the scripture. You can see it in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. New Testament examples, Jesus, y'all remember that guy, right? So Jesus had 12 disciples with him, but he had three who were his inner circle, and there was an investment that was made. And then after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the disciples still hung with one another. And then before you know it, Peter had some men. And then before you know it, Paul the apostle comes on the scene. And who does he have? He has Timothy, and he has Silas. You have all of these little groups of men who are maturing together in the faith, and they are ministering together in the faith. Why do you believe, as a follower of Jesus, that you can live the Christian life by yourself? You have not been called to live the Christian life by yourself. I've not been called to live it by myself. We need others in our life. Every Christian man needs to have other Christian men in their lives. Every Christian woman needs to have other Christian women in their lives who help sharpen them. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 12, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and they can conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You see, a team approach to your spiritual development and mine is the best method to sharpen our focus on God's intended purpose for our lives. And if you think about this concept, you and I as followers of Jesus, every single day we throw our legs out of the bed, we are stepping into a spiritual battle. And when we are in this spiritual battle, we need to make sure that we have other men in our lives, fellas, who are holding us accountable, who are helping us walk in maturity so that we are glorifying the Lord. And I need to remind you this morning, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. No one in their right mind would go to battle by themselves. We fight the spiritual battle with others. We need to have other individuals who have our backs in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need it even more so today in an increasingly godless culture. You need it as well as myself. Now, it is amazing when you begin to look just at the world in which we live, it seems that everybody understands this concept except for the church. If you look in the sporting arena, you see this. Some of you here today, maybe you go and you maybe work out somewhere. Well, if you go and work out somewhere, is it not true that you do much better when you have someone that you work out with? When you have somebody who goes to the gym with you, somebody challenging you, somebody putting some more weight on there and saying you can do it. My son, who's 17 now, he's decided he wants to be a man. Y'all with me? Say yes. And he's wanting to go work out. So he's like, Dad, let's go work out. I'm like, let's bring it. All right, so we go and we work out together. We've been doing this now for a few months. Can't y'all tell? There we go. Here's what I've learned, though. I was already working out, but I was kind of doing it by myself. But now that Garrison's with me, do you know that I've bench pressed more over the past 2 weeks than I ever have in my entire life? It is amazing. I could not get up 105 pounds, but I am telling you, I'm getting it up now, baby. Now, why is that? Why is it all of a sudden now I'm bench pressing more? It's because my son, Garrison, we're loading the weight up, and he's spotting me. And whenever it gets really tough, and I'm trying to push that thing up, what does he do? He says, come on, Dad, push, 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 push. Just that little bit of encouragement has helped me to earn this unbelievable body that you see here this morning, all right? I feel like I'm selling P90X. But anyway, so y'all remember that, right? And let me kind of give you another example. If you're dieting, right, is it not true that it's better to have other people in your life who are holding you accountable to the diet? Don't you do better when you know that guy or that gal's going to call you and say, did you have that Swiss cake roll this past week? What does it do? There's that challenge. You go into the secular workplace, which this is what my dissertation was on, by the way. But anyway, so when you go into the secular workplace, what you will discover is that it doesn't matter where you show up. They have discovered the advantage of grouping people together to help sharpen them in the context of their work. Isn't that amazing? You see that? You see all these relationships that are, and then you come to the church. And what do you often see? You often see a whole lot of men who will show up to church and they'll sit in a pew and listen to a sermon and they'll go home, but they never have people in their life that they are accountable to for their spiritual maturity. It makes no sense to me. And you don't read the New Testament without seeing all these relationships. You need them, I need them. And I will tell you, spiritual accountability has the ability to increase your devotion to the mission of Jesus and accelerate your spiritual maturity. So if you really want to grow strong in the Lord, you need other people with you. Paul the Apostle, by the way, tells Timothy, his young protege, he says, Timothy, a bodily exercise is good for a season, but spiritual exercise is really what you need. And this is you and I as well. We need this in our life, and we need others in our life who will help us, because spiritual accountability is vital to your spiritual development and mine. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens, what does that say again? Another. It says another. All right. Iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. Huge. Do we believe that or do we not believe it? So if we believe that, it stands to reason we should do something with it, right? So we understand a little bit more now this morning about what spiritual accountability is in our life. But then the second question that I want to give you is this: why do we need it? Why do we need it? And I got about five reasons I want to give you very quickly. So if you're a note taker, jot this down. Here's the reason we need it. Number one, we need a place to experience and express the love of Jesus. The Bible tells us in John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, eyeball to eyeball, don't miss this. You and I know this morning that Jesus Christ loves us. Is that not true? We know that. Now, if I were to get you this morning and say, how do you know that for sure? You'd be like, well, let me just take you to the cross. Greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friend. Jesus died for our sin. He was buried and resurrected. So we would point to that event and say, that's how I know the Lord genuinely loves me. And I would agree 100%. But what if I pressed you a little further and said, well, how do you experience the love of God in a practical fashion on a regular basis? How do you experience the love of God? Can I tell you, this is what's awesome. The love of God rides on the backs of other believers to be expressed in your life. When I'm spending time with other men, and I know these men are saying, Levi, I'm praying for you. Levi, I want to encourage you to keep on going. Levi, let me come alongside you in this difficult time in your life and help shore you up. When I've got guys in my life who are doing this, you know what that is? That is God expressing his practical love to me through the ministry of other believers. Are y'all listening? Now, if I remove myself from that, and I'm like, I don't need that in my life, what am I removing myself from? The practical love of God. This is why this is so vital in your life. And here's the thing. When I'm praying for other men, when I'm helping them in their struggles, when I'm strengthening them in their walk with Jesus Christ, what am I? I am a conduit of the love of God in that guy's life. So if I want to create an environment where I can both express the love of Jesus and experience the love of Jesus, the best environment is for me to have spiritually accountable relationships in my life. That's where the love of Jesus is expressed and experienced in a unique fashion. So we need a place like that. Do you have a place like that? Here's another reason we need it. We need others to help us when we fall into sin. Paul the Apostle encouraged those in Galatia. He says this, Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Now, eyeball to eyeball, what is the law of Christ? It is the law of love toward others. How do we fulfill that law? We help those who have fallen into sin. And I love what he does here in the book of Galatians. He gives the imagery in Galatians 5. He says, here's what you need to do as a follower of Jesus. You need to walk in the Spirit. They were so concerned. They were like, all right, we're free from this law, so how are we supposed to live now? What do we do if we don't abide by the law as we used to? He says, you walk in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God empowers you to love others. But then he says this, but as you are walking, some of you are going to trip up and fall into sin. Hey, can we, y'all down with truth in church? That was a question. All of these said yes, and y'all were like, I don't know if we are or not. It depends on what you're going to ask. Let's do this. Show of hands. How many of you straight up have fallen into sin in the past month? Would you just slip a hand up? All right, keep it up. Look at all you sorry people in here. All right, put it down. Here's the reason I ask you to do that, because every single one of us do. We all, so as you are walking in the Spirit, there are times that you trip up and you fall into sin. And the Scripture says, you who are spiritual, restore such a brother. That little idea of restore is a medical term. It's the same term used by doctors to describe setting a broken leg. So now you can see the imagery. Paul says you're walking in the Spirit, but as you're walking, sometimes you trip up and you fall into sin and you break your leg. What do you need? You need others in your life who do what? Come to you and restore you. Help put you back up on your feet and get you going back in the race again. Do you have people like that in your life? When you fell into sin over this past month, did anybody come and help you get up? Are y'all listening? Here's another reason we need it. We need this in our life because we need to stir others up. And we need others to stir us up. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. If you leave a cup of water sitting alone, it'll go dormant. But if you stir it up, it comes back to life. A Christian left alone will often become stagnant and dormant. We need people in our lives who will stir us up. And this gives the depiction that as we are sharpened by others, our thinking will be persuaded to love and our actions will be persuaded to serve us. So we need people like this in our life. Here's another reason. We need others to pray for us. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. When you fall into sin, when I fall into sin, we need others that we can talk to about it, so that they can pray for our healing. Can I say for some of you who are caught up in sin this morning, your healing will come when you reveal your sin to another brother. Are y'all listening? Now, there's a cliche that just came to my mind, so I'll give it to you, although I'm not a fan of cliches. But revealing is healing. If you hold on to that sin and you're like, I can't tell anybody about this, I'm so ashamed of this. No, that's where the enemy wants you, man. Last thing he wants you to do is share this with another brother who can hold you accountable and pray for you, because the enemy himself knows that if you have that in your life, you're going to experience victory. We need others to pray for us. Here's another one. We need wisdom from others. I like Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. See, God uses others in our lives to speak truth to us. And this can happen in the context of spiritual accountability. So let me ask you this question just straight up, and I really want you to think about this. Would your spiritual development be helped if you had a few people like this in your life who were experiencing and expressing the love of Jesus towards you, who are helping you when you fall into sin, who are stirring you up in the faith, who are praying for you, who are sharing wisdom with you? I'm telling you, if you have those kind of people in your life, you're going to see an acceleration in your spiritual development. We all need it. So, everybody still with me? Say yes? Hopefully I've made the argument here, and I didn't have to even stretch. I mean, it's just there are biblical principles that we just have to learn to apply to our lives. So apply this to your life. Now, if you are here today and you're like, well, Levi, I don't know exactly how to do that. How would I even start? So fired up you asked that question, because that's the third one I want to answer. How do I start? And I get that question a good bit, because people, you know, they're like, Levi, I know you got this accountability stuff in your life. How'd you get that ball rolling? What do you do? How do you start? Well, first of all, step one, don't be embarrassed about it. The enemy loves to attack you when it comes to matters of your spiritual maturity. And all of hell knows that if you get this going in your life as a man, it's going to make a difference. So what does the enemy do? He wants to try to convince you you don't need others. You can do this by yourself. Levi doesn't know what he's talking about. Or maybe you're even there and you're like, well, if I do that, that seems a little bit sissified to me. I don't know if I really want to be that kind of guy. Listen, if you're allowing embarrassment to keep you from your spiritual maturity, I promise you, that's not the Lord's leadership in your life. That's the enemy. Everybody still with me? Don't y'all like sermons that actually tell us to do something? Because once this one's over, it's like you're going to have to do something. That's hysterical to me. Step number two, jot this down. Determine how you want to be encouraged. Or I could say it to you like this. Determine where you want to be held accountable. This is pretty awesome. John Wesley, a former missionary, created a list of 21 questions that he wanted to be held accountable to by other men. 21 questions. John Wesley, by the way, is kind of one of the founders of the Methodist movement. And can I tell y'all, because this is interesting to me, they began to call these guys Methodist as a term of derision. They were ragging them out. And the reason they called them Methodist is because they had these methods that they adhered to in their spiritual life. And the methods had every single thing to do with spiritual accountability. Isn't that crazy? Here are some of the questions that John Wesley was like, y'all ask me these questions on a regular basis. Here's some. And as I read this, let me just ask you, if somebody was asking you these questions on a regular basis, would this not help your spiritual maturity? Here's one. Did I give the Bible time to speak to me every day this week? Did I enjoy prayer? Did I speak to someone about my faith? Can I tell you, for me in my own personal life, knowing that I've got men who are going to ask me on a regular basis, Levi, have you shared Jesus with anybody? Has been one of the best questions I've ever had. Every week I get that question. So you know what? That makes me super sensitive to those who need to hear the gospel. So I'm always looking for people to share the gospel with. Why? Because I know somebody's going to ask me this week, did you share Jesus? Y'all ain't listening. I'm still on John Wesley. Y'all with me? Say yes. Here's another question. He says, am I jealous, impure, critical, irritable, touchy, or distrustful? Is there anyone that I fear, dislike, disown, criticize, hold resentment toward, or disregard? And if so, what am I going to do about it? How about this one? Y'all like this one. Did I this week grumble and complain constantly? Come on now. Chuck Swindoll, some of you have heard of him. He's a pastor and written several books. Awesome, awesome dude. He's got a list of questions that he also has others ask him on a regular basis. Listen to these questions. They asked Chuck Swindoll, have you been with a woman anywhere this past week that might be seen as compromising? Have any of your financial dealings lacked integrity? Have you exposed yourself to any sexually explicit material? Have you spent adequate time in the Bible studying and spending time in prayer? Have you given priority time to your family? Have you fulfilled the mandates of your calling? And then I like this one. This is the last question that he says I need to ask. Have you just lied to me? That's pretty good, right? You get all the questions like, no, I'm good. Have you just lied? Yes, I have, several times. But anyway, accountability, man. They have it in their lives. And I guess what I'm asking is, do you have it in yours? This is massively beneficial as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I need guys in my life who are asking me difficult questions because they actually care about me. They're concerned about my spiritual maturity. You know, even preaching a couple of weeks ago, and it was during the week. I had one of those guys that I meet with on Thursday calling me every evening, wanting to make sure I was by myself in the hotel room. Y'all ain't listening. Y'all looked nervous when I shared that with y'all. Y'all were like, where is he going with this? Where is he going? Step number three, before I say something else. Decide who you're going to ask. I said, all I'm doing is giving you practical, simple steps, right? Don't be embarrassed. You know you need it, guy. You know you need it, man. Don't be embarrassed about it. Figure out how you want to be held accountable. Maybe there's three or four questions you just want somebody to ask you on a regular basis. But then you got to decide who it is you want in your life. Who is it? And here's what I would say. Look at where you're serving right now at Ebenezer. Maybe you're on the greeter team. Maybe you're up there in the booth. Maybe you're in a small group, whatever you guys call them here, Sunday school, all right? But you're in that group. Are there some men in there? that you can just look at. And here's the great thing. Because I'm preaching on it right now, you've got a great, easy way to start that conversation. All right, so here's how it goes. Because I know men are terrible at communication. Y'all with me? Say yes. All right, so men, you go up to another man. You're like, hey, did you hear what Levi was preaching on? And then the other's going to be like, yep. And then you say, what'd you think about that? Y'all see I'm two people right now? All right. And then the other guy's like, yeah, that's probably the best sermon I've ever heard in my life. No, he's going to say that. But he'll say, yeah, man, that was good stuff. It's like, yeah, that's right. You think, I think we need to do this. Let's do what Levi said. Y'all see how easy that was right there? You don't even have to go up and say, hey, would you please be a spiritual accountability partner in my life? Because that may sound a little weird. But you can say, hey, man, let's do what Levi was talking about. All right, well, what questions you want me to ask you on a regular basis? All right, here's three. Boom, boom, boom. Which leads me to step number four. Decide when you want to have the conversation, when you want to have the meetings. Now, you can do this every week. That's what I've had in my life, and I'm a fan of it. Like I said, every Thursday. But you may say every month we're going to meet together. We're going to meet, you know, well, you may meet before church, may meet after church. But you're going to get together and you're going to ask these three or four questions. You're just going to boom, 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 boom. You're going to go through them. You're going to listen to each other. You're going to pray for each other. You just got to decide how you're going to do it and when you're going to do it. And then you got to stick to it. Which leads me to the last question this morning. And that is this. When do I start? When should I start? Don't y'all think that's a great question? No, I was asking y'all. Don't y'all think that's a great question? Y'all got to help me out up here sometimes, you know. So let's get the answer and we'll just all look at it together. When should I start spiritual accountability in my life? Let's jot it up there. Oh, my word. ASAP. Have y'all ever heard of this before? Y'all heard of this in the mountains of Tekoa? Let us try and see if you know what it is all together. All right, so I'm going to count to three. And you tell me what you think it means. One, two, three. Well, y'all are sharper than I thought. What does this mean? This means as soon as possible. That means when you leave church today, when you get out there in the foyer, you might be going up to a couple of guys that you know already, and you say, hey, man, do you hear what Levi was talking about? Yep, I think we ought to do it. All right, let's get it going. Are y'all listening? Now, here's the thing. Could you imagine what Ebenezer Church would look like if the men of this church took this seriously? It would radically change the entire culture here at Ebenezer. You would see a spiritual maturity accelerate like you've never seen it before. And can I add, men, if you jumped on what I'm talking about this morning, the ladies of this church will be fired up beyond imagination. They would be overwhelmed. Can I just be straight up with you? I just asked y'all, can I be straight up with you? Because here's the thing. Some of your wives right now are sitting next to you and they're praying for you. And they're saying, Lord, I hope my husband's paying attention. Lord, get his attention. Get his attention. He needs men like this in his life. He needs men like this. That's what she's praying. Oh. Aren't y'all glad I just say stuff like that? That just ruins the mood, doesn't it? So it's one of those things. You can listen to this message as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, and you can be like, all right, that's good. Got my hat today, Father's Day, and roll out of here and come back and sit in the same pew next Sunday, and then the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, and the next Sunday. Or you can go out of here and say, you know what? I want to mature in my walk with the Lord, and I'm going to do whatever's necessary to make it happen. I need other men in my life. Do it. Guarantee you you'll see a change. Let's bow together. Father, thank you for putting us around others who care about our spiritual walks. And I pray for the men who are here this morning. Would you grant them favor as they begin this in their life? God, I'm trusting that we will see at Ebenezer a radical change of spiritual development like never before, simply because some men decided they would start getting together. Lord, I'm amazed at just the evangelical movement that took place just from a couple of guys named John and Charles Wesley just from doing some spiritual accountability. I'm amazed at the difference people like Chuck Swindoll have made in ministry just simply by having some spiritual accountability. God, do that. We'll give you glory. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Nobody's looking, right? Everybody's heads bowed. If you haven't paid attention today, and let me just say it to you like this. You need to pay attention right now. Some of you here, you don't know the Lord. Like, you know church. You know church membership. You may even know baptism, but you don't actually know the Lord. You've not been changed by Him. And maybe you were just invited. You just came to church today because it's Father's Day, and your dad's like, I really would like you to come to church today, and you showed up. But you don't really know the Lord. Can I just tell you very quickly this morning that you're not an accident. You were created by God and for God. You really were. And here's the thing. You'll never know why you exist apart from the one who created you. So if you just continue to live your life and do your own thing, I'm just telling you, man, you're going to miss out on why you are here. But just like all of us, you're separated from God because of sin. The Bible makes it plain. We are all sinners before the Lord. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the perfect standard. Literally, sin is missing the mark. So as we're throwing these axes up here at this little target and we miss, that's what sin is. The target in life is perfection, holiness, righteousness, and every single one of us, no matter how many times we throw the axe, we all fail. That's why you need Jesus, because Jesus is the perfect, righteous, holy one. And He came to this earth to die the death that you deserve, the death that I deserve. God the Father poured out His wrath on Jesus, His Son, for you and for me. Then Christ was buried and resurrected. Now, if you'll just accept Him by faith this morning, turning from your sin to the Lord, you can be saved. So here's what I want to say to you. If you're here today and you need to give your life to Christ, no messing around. This is a serious deal. You're like, I want to give my life to Jesus right now, today. Would you just right where you are, pray something like this in your heart as I pray out loud. Just say, Lord, I admit to you that I'm a sinner this morning. And there's nothing I can do to save myself or impress you. But I believe that Jesus died for me. That He was resurrected. And the best way that I know how, I'm turning from my sin and putting my full trust in you today. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, you're here this morning, you say, Levi, man, that was my prayer today. Just prayed with you and gave my life to Christ. Listen, I want to pray for you before I step off of this platform. So if you're here today and you say, Levi, I just prayed with you and gave my life to Jesus, would you just look up and make eye contact with me? It'll take me just a few minutes to run through this room. You say, Levi, today, just prayed with you and gave my life to the Lord. Just look at me real hard. It takes me a minute to get all the way through here. Just keep looking, keep looking. So our next step for those who are present this morning, men and women alike, it's just simply answering the question, what are you going to do with a message like what we have heard this morning? Father, move in our hearts so that you're glorified. And we'll praise you for what you do in the lives of many men and women in this church in the days ahead. In Jesus Christ's name that we pray, and everybody said,
amen. Thank you, Levi.